Let us pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise you speak to us in the Scriptures. That when they are preached, you promise to meet with us. You promise us power to even change our hearts. Please, O Lord, help me so to speak and us all to hear that we would draw near to you. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. This morning, I'd like to begin a new series of messages simply called Jesus is the Answer. The good news of Jesus for the busy and the broken, for the burnt out and the bereaved, and for the burdened. And I just simply want to point you all to the Saviour. To Jesus himself. So that you will hear his call. His invitation to come to him. And that's not a one-off thing that you do when you become a Christian. He calls, he invites us to come to him again and again and again with all our needs. The Lord Jesus has come to deliver us from all the miseries of this life. You don't have to be unhappy. But in coming to Christ more and more, he will begin the work of healing you here and now, and he will complete it in heaven. That's the good news. Jesus really is the answer, and he's offering you life, and life in all its fullness, if you'll come. And I'd like us to begin today with the story of Martha and Mary in Luke in chapter 10. And the good news of Jesus for the busy. How Jesus is the answer for everyone who is too busy. Overworked, overstressed, stretched too thin, always too much to do. Jesus is the answer, if that's you. In the 1930s, the famous economist John Maynard Keynes said that thanks to technology and a growing economy, that he thought that in the future, their grandchildren would probably only work 3 hours a day. Be nice, wouldn't it? Well, how did that work out? Do you know anybody that only has to work 3 hours a day? We all know that life seems more busy than ever. It's one of the biggest problems of modern life. In a recent survey by Harvard Business School of 1,000 professionals, they found that 94% of them worked more than 50 hours a week, and 40% more than 65 hours a week. So despite all the help of modern technology, a lot of us are actually working longer hours than our grandparents. Or you might have seen that recent story in the news that the World Economic Forum estimates that on average, women work an extra 50 minutes a day compared to their husbands or partners. Not only are women doing the bulk of the work in the home, but many are now working out of the home as well. Now, sisters, don't get me in trouble by quoting that statistic at your husband when there's jobs to do. One survey on the issue asked people, what is the number one reason they didn't participate in surveys? And the answer, ironically, is they're too busy. Now, what all of that is trying to give you a little taste of is just some of the massive changes that have taken place over the last 100 years. Lots of women now work out of the home. We're all living longer. We've changed from most of us doing physical labour to doing something in the knowledge economy with computers and working in an office. But we all know that this busyness is a massive problem. And it's wearing us out. Physically, emotionally, mentally, putting strain on family, friendships. I'm willing to bet that pretty much all of you here will say that you feel you're too busy. So turn with me then to this passage in Luke, which is the tale of these two sisters, one of whom is suffering from busyness. You see, as Jesus continues his ministry around Israel, he's welcomed into the home of these two sisters, Martha and Mary. The Lord Jesus has no settled home of his own at this point. He is a traveling preacher. and he's dependent on the hospitality of his followers. So these two sisters generously welcome him into their home. But we're told Martha was busy with much serving. Well, our first big point is simply this: the problem of busyness. Just imagine how much work was involved in caring for Jesus that day. Martha would have had to get up early, fetch water, perhaps even gather up the wood to light a fire, perhaps working hard to skin and prepare animals to eat, or gathering in the crops and preparing them. And not just to feed Jesus, but all the disciples who are traveling around with him. If you ever had to prepare a dinner party for, say, 12 plus people, you'll know that's a massive amount of work. And so how much harder would it have been back then? It's all hard, manual labor, up from the crack of dawn, no gadgets to help. And then think about all the cleaning. Here's Jesus and the disciples walking through the muddy, dirty roads of Israel, bringing all of that into the house. And don't you get the impression here of how hard Martha is scurrying around them, trying to be the perfect host? Hospitality was so important. Washing them, cleaning them, keeping the house clean, bringing out all the dishes. And notice the problems that this causes. Verse 40. She was distracted. We all know what that's like, don't we? When you've got too much to do, you start trying to multitask. And then you end up not focusing on any one thing. You're dashing from one thing to another, like keeping a dozen plates spinning in the air. But even more importantly, she is being distracted here from the most important things, from spiritual things, from time with Jesus. She's going to all this hard work of bringing him into the house, but then she's actually missing out on the best thing, a fellowship with him. So distracted, missing out on the really important things. And then notice the second problem in verse 40. When you're busy, how it can change your own heart. Being busy can make you judgmental, angry, frustrated. Look, she says to Jesus, I'm so busy, but my lazy sister over there is just sitting there listening to you. Tell her to get up and help me. And isn't it true when you're busy that you end up judging others who don't seem to be pulling their weight? Do you ever find yourself competing in the busyness Olympics? That you secretly view it as a kind of competition? You should be rewarded. You should be noticed for how busy you are. Have you noticed that being busy is now the new ultimate status symbol? People boast about being busy. How are you today, dear? Oh, I'm so busy. I'm launching my new business. I'm raising the children. And I'm redoing the kitchen. I've never got time for anything. And in a strange way, being busy like that is somehow viewed as being successful. That's the people who got it made. They're the high achievers, the hard workers. We'll come back to this, but for now, just notice the danger that being busy becomes a competition. We think that being busy is what gives us significance. And then there's the third major problem that Jesus mentions. When you're being too busy, there comes worry, or you could call it anxiety. Jesus responds, Martha, you are worried about many things. Worried, stressed, anxious, carrying about your cares. We all know this, don't we? Are you aware that there is an anxiety crisis in society? In large part because we are over busy. Something like a third of the population is on antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication. Anxiety is a bit like the warning lights on your car dashboard that start to blink because the engine has been overtaxed. It's warning signs that you're doing too much. Your body, your brain, your nerves can only cope with so much. But here's the thing. The more times change, the more they stay the same. Here is poor, busy Martha, this very different time and place, and yet exactly the same problem that we've all got. So how is it? Why is it that this busyness is such a problem? Because there's something deeper going on. This busyness, this stress, is part of our fallen condition as sinful people. It is part and parcel of living in this broken, fallen world. If we think back to the beginning of Genesis and our creation, when the Lord first made us, work was a gift, something good to enjoy. We had a strength and ability to do it, and creation was working for us and with us. It had a natural fruitfulness and abundance, and there was blessing. It was all a joy. But of course, when we sinned, part of the punishment handed out to us is that now work and life under sin will be frustrating, fruitless, stressful, and it's just not going to happen. Genesis 3 verse 17. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles that shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. That's the reality. There'll always be thorns and thistles. It means plans will fail. Things will break. Work will not be easy. And being too busy is the result of this bigger problem. This fallenness of thorns, sweat, and tears. Now maybe you've never thought of your busyness that way. But this is why it's such a problem. It is a spiritual problem. Perhaps you think your busyness is a problem just because of circumstances or choices. It isn't. It's part of this bondage and decay imposed upon us. It is a spiritual problem. But if that's the case, it means that Jesus really is the answer. Jesus, praise God, is the one who can help us with this. Because he's come to take away the thorns and the thistles and to set us free from the sweat and the tears. The answer, if you are suffering under busyness, is learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. That's what you need to do. Learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. What does Jesus teach poor busy Martha? He says, verse 42, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Now what is it Mary has chosen to do? She sat at the feet of Jesus, the scripture says. That's what you desperately need to do to know how to do it. What does that mean to sit at his feet? Let me offer it to you as three thoughts. That you will seek Jesus, that you will submit to Jesus, and you will be satisfied with Jesus. That's the first thing it means, that you will seek Jesus, that you will seek to know and follow him above everything else. You see that phrase, to sit at his feet, I'm sure it was probably actually literal that day in that house, that she was literally sat by his feet. But it's also a turn of phrase. It is a first century idiom, and it means to be someone's disciple. You'll find it in various places in the scriptures. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel. It means you are that person's disciple. It means that in love and in obedience, you will follow this teacher. You will learn their teaching. You will live by it. You will copy them. Serve them. So that's actually telling you that Mary was a disciple of Jesus. Now just as an aside, isn't that a wonderful thought? In the time and context of when Jesus ministered, how amazing is this that he welcomed women equally with men to be his disciples and to sit at his feet? I know women's equality is this very hot topic in the media at the moment. There's the Me Too movement, all these horrible scandals emerging. And in many ways, a lot of that would have been worse in first century Israel. In such a dominant patriarchal culture, and we know that the leaders were so corrupt. Women often mistreated, but don't you see in the Gospels how Jesus was always exalting, honouring women, lifting them up to have that glory they're meant to have as God's children. True equality is found at the feet of Jesus. That's the answer our society is looking for. But to come back to the main thing, grab hold of this. Jesus says that this was Mary's one thing. What does he mean by that? He says this was her one priority. There's all these other things that could be done. But he's saying this is her one thing that she's chosen and put first. So he's saying to Martha and to us, are your priorities right? That's the place to start with your busyness. Have you got the right priorities? You need to choose the one thing that matters and pursue this one thing. And that one thing is seeking Jesus, knowing and following him. If you are sitting here this morning and you're too busy, ask the question, what are you seeking? What are you trying to get? What are you working for? Are you seeking Jesus as your one thing? He cannot be one thing among many others. Not a part of your life. He must be your life. Not something you fit in around the edges. He's got to have it all. He's got to be the dominating, controlling, determinative factor in all things. Loving Jesus, learning from Jesus, living for and like Jesus. He's got to be your one thing, your obsession, your priority. To the exclusion, in some sense, of other good things. The reality is, because of thorns and thistles, you cannot have it all. You cannot do it all. You cannot have everything the world offers and its ideal of a busy life and have Jesus. There is not enough time in the day, not enough energy in your soul to pursue everything of the world and pursue Jesus. If you're going to make him your one thing, other things may have to go. Something I suspect is going wrong in many Christians today is we're just too busy with other things to the neglect of the one thing. Good things, work, leisure, family, hobbies, learning, all good things. And secondary to Jesus, fitted in around him, they can be great things. But too often they can crowd out the one thing. The good becomes the enemy of the best. What I'm saying to you is, watch out for that pressure from the world that says life has to be this way. You should be pursuing all these different things and fulfilling all these different ambitions and ideals. You go like that, you'll be sucked in and you'll be constantly chasing your tail. You need the one thing. And have that as your clear goal in your life. I want to know Jesus. You might have to say no to that promotion. No to that activity or demand. No to that entertainment. No to that email or Facebook or Instagram. Because I want more time for Jesus. Do you need to declutter your life so the one thing is coming first? When did you last look at your schedule? I imagine many of you in business or work, you'll be very clear on your schedule. You need to do it to survive. But when was the last time you looted it and said, am I running my schedule so that everything is working for this one thing? How I might know Jesus. Picture those poor folks who are like hoarders. You know, the ones who fill their homes with stuff. Old newspapers, every bit of clothing they've ever owned, every bit of rubbish they can't bear to throw away, and the house just gets filled with it. If you let him, the devil will fill your time like that. Clear it out. Be clear on the absolute importance of the one thing. Christians used to speak about the importance of having a quiet time. You know, the idea that you always have that time every day where you read your Bible and you pray. When did you last have quiet time? Are you just too busy? Personally, I always find the idea of quiet time a bit difficult. Saying quiet time makes me think of being put in the naughty corner, where it sounds rather unexciting. Do you know, I think a better way? It's the time when I go to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's that time when I can have that privilege of fellowship with him, and I can sit and learn from him and enjoy him and worship him. Wouldn't that be the best thing to have as your first thing on your schedule? So make him your one thing. But secondly, sitting at the feet of Jesus also means submitting to Jesus. Again, to sit at the feet of somebody, another idiom there is that it means you're showing honor and submission and even worship to someone. Like you would sit or bow at the feet of a king. It's to humble yourself before someone who's greater than you. The antidote to your busyness is to learn to submit to Jesus as a creature to your creator. To put it another way, you have limits and he has laws. You're a creature, he's the creator. You have limits and he has laws. To submit to him means you submit to the fact that you are a creature. You are not a superhero. You are not unlimited. In pride, we all overestimate what we can do and take too much on. You need sleep. You need rest. You need food. You need recharging. Accept that God has created you in this specific time and place, and you have a specific calling to your family, your work, your neighbor. Only God is able to be everywhere, do everything all the time. And again, this is the subtle mold the world is trying to put you in. It's hyper-productive. It's hyper-competitive. There's pressure to be everywhere, do everything. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, you can just let go of all of that. You can just be content that you're a creature with limits. And you can submit to his will. He's put you here to do whatever tasks he puts in your hands day by day. As a creature at the feet of your creator, you can depend on him. You can rely on him. Perhaps your busyness is driven by worry. Call them the worries of being a creature. The kind of things Jesus was talking about in chapter 12. How shall I get what I eat? How shall I get what I wear? All really summing up, how do I get what I need to live? But Jesus says, submit to God, your creator. If he feeds the birds and grows the grass, does he not care much, much more for you? And especially for you, his children, his covenant people. Your heavenly father knows what you need. And so rest, trust, depend on his control that he will provide. Let go of the worry by depending on him. So you're limited. It's a good thing. And he has laws. As your creator, he's even given instructions about your time. The fourth commandment says work 6 days, but the seventh should be given to God in rest and worship. I suspect some of us might be too busy and overwhelmed because we're just simply not obeying God and following his way for managing his time, our time. If we don't do it the way that he says works, then no wonder we're over busy. So this is the second thing that helps you to picture what it means to come and sit at his feet this morning. He says, come and submit to me as your creator. I know what's best. You can trust me. You have limits and he has laws. But then, finally, best of all, what you really need. Sitting at the feet of Jesus means being satisfied with Jesus. By satisfied, I don't mean barely satisfied, just enough. I mean satisfied in the true meaning of the word. Full of abundance. Full of happiness. Of having so much you cannot want anymore. Satisfied in the sense you've just eaten the biggest, best meal of your life and you can't cram another bite in. This is why Jesus is the one thing. Because he's the best thing. And if you don't know Jesus and what it's like to sit at his feet, you don't know what happiness is. He's the best thing. If our busyness is a spiritual issue, just probe a little deeper into your heart. So often we are busy because we are searching for something. There's a restlessness in our soul. And we're so busy because we're searching for significance. We give our lives meaning by being busy. If we succeed at work, if we meet a certain ideal, if we're trying to be the best parent we can be, we think that's giving me meaning and value. There's that restlessness and longing from deep within. We know that life's meant to mean something. That my life is meant to mean something. I know that I'm meant to be happy. I know that I'm meant to have worth, but I'm desperately searching for it. Something that I can stand on. Deep down we feel we need approval, whether that's God's approval or other people's. And so much of our busyness on the busy exterior is driven from that searching within. Significance, self-worth, approval. All those things will be given to you when you sit at the feet of Jesus. When you are satisfied in him. When you sit and look and gaze upon him, you find that he is the answer for everything. You find he is, in the words of Scripture, the pearl of incomparable value. Oh Lord Jesus, please open their eyes at this moment so that they would see you and know how glorious you are. He is the treasure worth giving up everything for. When you know his presence, you know he's so magnificent, he's so great. Your soul is just filled with the wonder and the joy of him. And you find rest and wholeness in him. As you look at him, you see that he is the Almighty Son of God. He is the one who is forever and ever the beauty and the glory of God manifest. All beauty, all truth, all goodness is in him and is flowing out of him. All power, all love is in Jesus to an infinite depth. All true being and justice, everything good is in him and from him. When you sit at his feet, when you make him your everything, you find life in all its fullness and you drink from this fountain of grace. And he bestows on you significance and approval freely. You don't have to earn God's blessing. Sitting at his feet, he bestows it on you by grace. When you come and rest and depend on him, he makes you a child of God. He declares and makes you so. He has done the work needed to save you. He's borne the worst of the thorns and the thistles. He bore the cross. He worked hard under that curse. He sweated under it in order to lift it off you. So you can receive this grace freely. So what you need with your hands is to let go of much of the busyness that you're trying to do so that you can pursue the one thing, knowing him. With your head, you need to understand this relationship that you are a creature before your creator. You've got limits and he's got laws. And with your heart, you need to surrender to Jesus and see the beauty and glory of who he is. And rest so satisfied in him that he should be yours. That he should love you. So if you are too busy, come with all your weariness, all your emptiness. Come this morning. Come to Jesus. Come and receive his forgiveness and new life. Come and receive significance and value, not by what you earn or what you do. And the King of the universe will declare over you that you are good and that you are loved by him. And this good thing will never be taken away from you. The answer to your busyness is make sitting at the feet of Jesus your one thing. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we confess how we struggle with busyness, how we are distracted from the one thing. Lord, the world is so powerful to pull us away from you. And we struggle, Lord, sometimes to see the glory and the beauty of your Son. Please, O Lord, affect our hearts today. Help us come and sit at the feet of Jesus. Open our eyes to know him. Lord, we pray that you would help us even to say no to other things so that there is time for him each day. We pray, Lord, for grace to keep your commandments. And we pray, Lord, that even through how we manage our time and through our work, that Jesus would be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.